Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Granger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast.
Some guys just will not let you move on. And this is not an insult or I came across negative. Not negative. Jake Tonjes, the 49ers tight end, local kid, Los Gatos. Like he just will not stop doing his job. And to the point where somebody's got to win this tight end three job. And we'll detail the depth chart and who's there and who's not there. And I really thought the 49ers would add, you know, another tight end to fight for that spot. Yeah, George Kittle won. Luke Farrell, he paid a lot of money to bring in a free agency too. Number three, 49ers use that a lot. Well, Jake Tonjes was not the guy that they wanted. They spent a third-round pick on Cam Latu. They spent a seventh-round pick on Braden Willis. And back-to-back off-seasons, the idea was somebody else would win that job. Well, Jake Tonjes, just whenever other people messed up or got cut or injured or couldn't get the job done, he just got the job done. Is he the sexiest, biggest, fastest, you know, this, you know, high upside player? No, he's not. He doesn't have a lot of that. But what he does have is intelligence, versatility, and just a freaking lunch pail local mentality that will not be denied. Last year, Jake Tonjes on this roster countdown was 77. This year, he's 61. He's just fighting and clawing his way. And this is not new for him. Tonjes went to Cal and was a walk-on. Redshirted his first year and carved out a path in a five-year career. Eventually, now he's in the NFL for multiple seasons. This is not new for Jake Tonjes. And it's not even like, you know, we do our four rankings. Listen to where he ranked. 67th, 63rd, 64, 61. On our four ballots, this is where he is. And just no bad rankings. It's just like, well, they didn't add anybody. He jumped up 16 spots from last season. How do you count him out? Do the 49ers go into this season hoping he wins that tight end three job? I don't think so. But when you're at training camp, when you watch the preseason games, which is where he played predominantly, you're just like, man, consistent, effective, no negatives, gets the job done. And it's like, well, can he catch the ball? In the offseason, you know, the preseason last year, he got 9 targets, caught all 9. They didn't break one tackle. One of them was a contested catch. But like, okay, receiving, check. Yeah, Braden Willis, they wanted to be the backup fullback and couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. Well, then they moved Tonjes there 2 weeks left in training camp, a little over halfway point through. He did the job. He was doing way better than Braden Willis. Does he move as well in space as him? No. Does he block as well as him? No, not really. But he doesn't have the penalties, and he just gets the job done. He wears jersey number 88 for the 49ers. He's 6'4", 240, exact same measurements basically as Braden Willis, just with a little bit less athleticism. He's 25 years old, ran a 4.7740, not great. 1.62 10-yard, not great. Brico, not bad. 7.09. That's pretty solid. Change of direction is good. 35.5-inch vertical, good. Broad jump, 10 feet, good. Bench press, 17, all right. But he's entering into his fourth season in a highly improbable situation. And, you know, he was an undrafted free agent. The 49ers didn't even sign him there. He was signed first and foremost by the Chicago Bears as an undrafted free agent. He made the 53-man initial roster there. Didn't really get a lot of playing time. Eventually, they cut him and waived him. But, like, this dude is just, like, he's, like, one of those, like, cats that just has nine lives. Everybody counts him out. We did last year, too. We had him 77 on our roster countdown. Didn't make the initial roster, but just kept fighting and kept fighting and kept fighting. Got a lot of playing time. And, man, here he is. No more real competition for him. These are all the guys that he beat out last year. Why can't he do it again? Probably not the player that's going to be getting a lot of attention, but, man, Jake Tonjes just gets the damn job done over and over and over again. Local prospect, like I said, from Los Gatos, California, Willie the Wildcat, he's there, goes to Cal, local. And, you know, whenever he was at Berkeley, Cal Berkeley, for five seasons, played in 41 games, 23 starts, 47 receptions, 620 yards, four touchdowns. Played all over the place. Tight end, fullback, even split out. You go back to high school days, dude played quarterback, freshman, sophomore year, played basketball, two-way star. Like, this dude, say whatever you want. Like, he could do it all. He even played some defense. He was a defensive end for a while. And unrated, like I said, walked on at Cal, earned a job, played there for 5 years. This dude, he's got a bachelor's in American studies and a graduate certificate in business administration. Like, just kind of sticks around for his career. Now, is he ever going to carve out, you know, a multi-year deal? And, you know, is he ever going to win the tight end two job? No, that's not even up for debate. But tight end is a needed position in the NFL with a lot of teams that Shanahan branches. As long as it keeps expanding, you're going to have teams in 12, 13, and even 22 and 23 personnel, which means two to three tight ends on the field. Whenever you can contribute on special teams like Jake Tonjes does, you just make yourself available. A big body that's 6'4", that can run and has good change of direction and will do whatever dirty work you need, this is the guy. Played in four games with the Bears in his first two seasons, 2022-2023. Comes and joins the 49ers last year, and he played. He played 16 games he appeared in, only two tackles, and a lot of it was on special teams, 232 special team snaps, 35 offensive snaps. Well, special teams, he had a 62.8 grade. Not great, not bad, but that's a positive grade. You start at 60, so in one of the worst special teams groups in the NFL, he was a slightly positive player. That's to say something. 35 offensive snaps, 20 pass plays, 14 run plays in the regular season, but did have a 78 grade run blocking. Zero targets, but he saw most of his time in the preseason. Played 62 offensive snaps in the three preseason games in 2024. 9 of 9 on targets, caught all 9 of them for 63 yards. And again, nobody, the 49ers position coach, offensive coordinator, play caller, head coach, you name it, none of them wanted Jake Tonjes to be the guy. Not that they don't like him, it's just, man, you had a third-round pick, Cam Latu, back-to-back years. You got seventh-round pick, Braden Willis. This dude just comes out of nowhere and takes their jobs. And guess who he's got to compete against this year? Braden Willis again. Roz Dwelly they brought back from the dead. And to be honest with you, Jake Tonjes, like his comp, his comparable, it's Roz Dwelly. Like, he's Roz Dwelly 2.0. Hey, could he be that next guy that just sticks around as a tight end three over and over and over again? He don't want to go nowhere else. He's a local guy. He wants to stay here. And that does give you a little bit of flexibility if you do release him. If Jake Tonjes doesn't make the initial 53, you can bring him back. I don't think there's anybody that's really clamoring for him, but he's just done so stinking much for the locker room. You just trust him. I mean, you love the gritty, grinded out mentality that this dude shows up with, and he practices every damn day. I was at every training camp practice last year. I don't think I ever missed 88, and he's just out there doing his job all the time. He signed a one-year, $1.03 million deal. No guarantees. Shocker. His career earnings, $1.6 million. Been in the league for 4 years. Hasn't cracked 2 million. Played in 20 career games. 16 last year. That was the most. Had two special teams tackles. So what's the best case scenario? Best case scenario is the 49ers keep three or four tight ends on their active because of special teams, and he's on the initial 53 again. And he's a rotational piece fighting for that tight end three spot but helping out on special teams just like we did last year. That's best case. Most likely, probably going to get waived. Save that spot, bring him back on the practice squad, elevate him. No clue who's going to win this tight end three spot. And Mason Plyne has the highest upside. That's personally who I hope takes the job. But, man, Jake Tonchus on the roster emboldens the idea of a meritocracy. You show up, you work, you earn it, you get rewarded. I mean, come on, man. Like, this dude, former walk-on, former quarterback, undrafted free agent. Like, what else do you want? How many strikes against your NFL career do you need? Well, for somebody that's got nine lives like Jake Tonchus, he's got some more, I think, in him. I hope he stays healthy. I hope he competes. And if he wins that job, tight end three or four, and makes this roster, nobody's going to be happier than me. The upside is kind of what limits him as just a special teams role player in case of emergencies. But the 49ers didn't add new tight ends outside of Luke Farrell, who's just a clearly defined blocker for pass game and run game. That's it. Tom just brings more in the pass game than he does. He can play fullback. The versatility's there. The intelligence is there. The fight is there. Man, at some point he's going to be on the roster again this year, and he comes at 61 on our 49ers roster cut down. Have to say thank you to Josh, Ben, and Zach, executive producers of this series, and for us and the 49ers Rush team, going to keep counting them down. Hey, Niner faithful, if you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, Tick Pick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. Tick Pick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the Tick Pick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community, and all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the Tick Pick app or tickpick.com. Just search 49ers Rush. Who doesn't love talking quarterbacks that Kyle Shanahan loves? Tanner Mordecai is now entering into his second season as the 49ers emergency quarterback. That's what he was last year. He was number 80 on the list last year. Now he's at number 60 and just hanging around, up 20 spots on last year's roster countdown. And you've got people like Larry Kruger, shout out to the man Larry, who loves Tanner Mordecai. And, you know, talked recently on a show we did together where there's like a decent, he said 5% chance, just whatever, they could win the number two job. And listen, as crazy as that sounds, and I do fully expect Mac Jones, who signed a two-year, you know, $4.7 million guaranteed money over 2 years, like, he's going to be the number two quarterback. But when you look at Tanner Mordecai, stronger arm than any other quarterback on the 49ers roster, he ran a 4.46, like, way faster than any quarterback on the 49ers roster. It's not even close. So, like, strong arm, he's got the speed, he's got the agility, he's got all those things. I get it. And I love the fact that they brought back Tanner, even though they drafted Curtis Rourke, who I think is going to get a true redshirt year. It's nice to have guys like this around. And whenever Kyle Shanahan likes you as a quarterback and invests time in you, only good things happen. You look at how much he's gotten people paid, like Nick Mullins or C.J. Beathard or Jimmy Garoppolo. And you can even go back to way before, you know, he even came to the 49ers with what he did at Atlanta, with what he did at Houston, with what he did at Cleveland, what he did at Washington. Like, if you are a quarterback that can stick around Kyle Shanahan's system, you're going to get paid eventually. And Tanner Mordecai, he's getting the education of a lifetime. He wears jersey number 4, 6'2", 218. He's built correctly. He's 25 years old, and what's funny is he turns 26 in November. He's 1 month older than Brock Purdy, and we forget how young Brock Purdy is. So you've got a very, you add in Mac Jones and Curtis Rourke, they're all about the same damn age. And so you've got four quarterbacks in the room that are all, you know, 24, 25, 26, 27. Speed's off the charts, 1.63 10-yard split. He doesn't have the elite burst speed that Brock Purdy has. He's got much more of the top-end get-up-and-go type speed. So, again, the initial burst isn't great, but, man, that top-end speed is off the charts. Ran a 7-flat 3-cone. That's better than Debo. 36.5-inch vertical, elite. 9.11 broad, good. Like, he wasn't invited to the combine, but if he was, he would have been a combine star. Now, he's a Texas boy, Waco born and raised, went to Midway High School, and won a state title there. And on a team, he led that team over South Lake Carroll, like, who was the heavy favorites. And you look back at that Waco Midway team, man, it was Tanner Mordecai. They had, you know, KT Levingston went to K-State, Khalil Houghton. He went on to Oklahoma, but that was like it. Like, they were playing a national powerhouse, you know, legendary Texas school that's just flooded with talent. And Tanner Mordecai just went out there and willed his way to a championship. It's pretty cool. And his college career is, man, insane. Goes to OU, loses the starting battle to Spencer Rattler, who was like the number one recruit, whatever else. He lost that job. Then Spencer Rattler, who's now quarterback for the Saints, lost his job at Oklahoma to Caleb Williams, who's now the quarterback at Chicago, right? So anyway, he loses out that job, transfers to SMU, goes there, and puts up hellacious numbers. 72 touchdowns versus 22 interceptions. Had 13 games with more than 300 passing yards. I mean, that was the whole Danny Gray, all that kind of stuff that was going to Rashee Rice. Like, that was under Tanner Mordecai. Then, you know, he didn't get good feedback from the scouts at SMU and chose to join Luke Fickell at Wisconsin to try to up his stock value for the draft. Didn't really work, and he wanted to prove he could do, you know, this kind of air raid whatever in the Big Ten. Didn't go well. Played 10 games at Wisconsin, threw for 2,000 yards, 9 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Team went 7-6. Didn't happen like what he hoped would happen, and as a result, went undrafted. The 49ers were the ones that got him. And now, let's step even further back and look into Tanner Mordecai's family. Born and raised in Waco, grew up with a family full of athletes. Grandfather was a pro tennis player, and man, he got a lot of publicity. Earl Campbell, Tyler Rose, award semifinalist, Davey O'Brien, award semifinalist, you name it, all this different stuff, and just kept building up, and team captain at several places, SMU, and then Wisconsin, tough as hell. Like, this guy, he has that kind of DJ Bethard mentality in the pocket where I don't care if there's an all-out blitz, and I don't care if a defensive tackle is about to just destroy me and plant me in the ground. I'm going to stay in the pocket, and I'm going to do what I got to do. Like, and that has something that has permeated from high school and went with them to, you know, OU didn't get a lot of playing time. SMU, you saw it a lot. In Wisconsin, you saw it. Like, he will take a beating. He is tough as hell. And Shanahan loves that. That's, like, one of his favorite traits in quarterbacks. He was on the practice squad all last year and got paid to be there. He had $125,000 guaranteed signing bonus as an undrafted free agent last year. 49ers didn't do that this year. Like, they paid last year. That wallet clamped down a lot this year. But Tanner Mordecai, you know, never got activated and, you know, has a one-year $840,000 deal this year. No guarantees this year. Walked away with $350,000 last year. You know, being on the practice squad and running against starters and, you know, just being a practice dummy and all that stuff. Eventually, hopefully, you're hoping he's going to get paid, but it's not going to happen this year. So last year, practice squad the entire year, but he did play a lot in the preseason. He went 6 of 10 in his passing situations in the preseason, 103 yards. All 6 of his passes completed were first downs. That's huge. Did have 1 sack, but finished with a 95.0 passer rating. No touchdowns, no interceptions. Solid. Not great, but this is a developmental, long-term play of a high upside quarterback, strong arm, and doesn't understand when to pull back the howitzer in crazy speed, 4.4 speed, right, as a quarterback. Here's Dane Brugler of the Athletics write-up. He had him rated as his 25th quarterback in last year's draft. Dane Brugler says, athleticism, or no, sorry, Dane Brugler had him as his 25th. This is our write-up of him. Athleticism, experience, ball placement are his strengths. Layers the ball well and can make all the throws. Footwork is a major issue. Looks like backyard football too often. Has a lot of zips on short passes. Needs to learn when to take the heat off. Plays fearless. Takes a lot of huge hits. Super streaky, both good and bad. Jeff Garcia light type quarterback. So just one of those gritty, we're going to get it done, whether it's with my feet, my arm, whatever. Just, it's a punt. He's a punching quarterback. You know what I mean? Like, not a boxer, not a lot of strategy, just goes out there and just slugs it out. And he's going to walk off the field completely dirty and just like limp into the locker room, but he's going to leave everything he has out there. Every single time this dude suits up, he's just got to get the chance. Now, this year, he has more of a chance of playing time than I think he will next year, because the 49ers drafted Curtis Rourke out of Indiana in the seventh round. Well, he's overcoming an ACL surgery that took place after the college football season ended. So I think this is going to be a true redshirt year for Curtis Rourke. And so you've got Brock Purdy, obviously. He's the quarterback for the future. Mac Jones has a two-year deal. And then you have Tanner Mordecai as your quarterback three this year. Well, next, there's no competition for him this year because Curtis Rourke's going to be on the PUP or the NFI because his injury took place before he got drafted. So Tanner Mordecai is quarterback three this year. Next year, there's going to be a fight. It's going to be Tanner Mordecai if he gets brought back or Curtis Rourke. So, like, can he, this is the year, whether through training camp, joint practices, preseason, competition, where Tanner Mordecai gets to put his tape out there. That's his audition for the rest of the NFL. Hoping he gets paid after this year. And if he's going to make the 53-man roster as that number three quarterback. Shanahan will always keep three quarterbacks. But next year, when his contract expires with us this year after being on the practice squad again, that's where it's going to be, hey, could he do that Nick Mullins type whatever where he goes and competes with a rookie quarterback and get, like, that's the route that Tanner Mordecai is on. And God forbid we do see snaps of Tanner Mordecai this year. That means Brock Purdy's injured. That means Mac Jones is injured. Not where you want to be. But the athleticism's fun. It's easy to get behind. And you see, like, you know, I'm at all these training camp practices, and you see, like, they'll do the four quarterback warm-up every single – they do it the same way, where there's just centers and quarterbacks, and they go through, you know, just their snap count cadence – and they just walk through, okay, play action, roll out, throw it to a coach that's in the hook to curl zone. And you see all four of the quarterbacks throw the ball at the same time. One of them is not like the others. And it's Tanner Mordecai every time. That ball rifles out. I mean, it flies out. And when you saw last year with Josh Dobbs, whenever he finally got playing time, and like a couple wide receivers, tight ends, running backs, like bobble the ball because it's like, whoa, we're not used to the ball coming out this quick. That's Tanner Mordecai. So can he learn, kind of pull back and, you know, allow that rocket arm to show itself when it's supposed to, as opposed to the layups and zipping it in there all the time? We'll see. But Tanner Mordecai is going to be around this year. He's going to make the 53. And so we've got him at 60, but the only way he plays is if there's not one but two injuries to the quarterbacks. But, hey, we've seen that before in the 49ers Kyle Shanahan scheme. You do have Jake Brendel back. You do have Colton McKivitz back. You are paying your left guard, Ben Bartsch, who's probably going to start $1 million totally guaranteed. So 60% of your offensive line is budgetary. You're trying to bargain plays at three of those. You never know in this Shanahan scheme behind this offensive line. But you do have 40% of your offensive line. That's amazing. You have Trent Williams, you have Dominique Pooney, and you have not one but two elite blocking tight ends in George Kittle and Luke Farrell now. That should help considerably. So we'll have to see how it goes. Hopefully we don't see Tanner Mordecai play in the regular season, but it's going to be fun to see number four out there during training camp in the preseason, because he's going to get more reps this year than he had last year. And I'm hoping he shines in that and only great things come to him in the future. For us and the 49ers Rush team, we'll just keep counting them down.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you gotta come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
Some things are just consistent. They always hit, and it doesn't matter whether the player's different or whatever else. Kyle Shanahan, undrafted free agent running backs, are home runs, whether it's for the 49ers, and the NFL has caught on to this, and now if the 49ers don't find a way to keep their undrafted free agent running back, somebody's sniping them, whether it's the Miami Dolphins, whether it's the Los Angeles Rams, it doesn't matter. There's so much of the Shanahan tree out there that undrafted free agents that go through the 49ers will land somewhere on a roster. It's so consistent. And now we have running back Corey Kiner, who is the next installment of the 49ers undrafted running back machine, that is. And, you know, you could look at Matt Breida, Jeff Wilson, Jordan Mason. Those are the three big hits that landed and hit with the 49ers that didn't go elsewhere. Well, actually, all three of them were traded for fifth-round picks eventually. Maybe Corey Kiner's the next one. And to be honest with you, you've got to be happy for that. If you can get a couple years of production, cheap running back value, and then you unload him to another team for a fifth-round pick, literally, Jeff Wilson, fifth-round pick, Matt Breida, fifth-round pick, Jordan Mason, fifth-round pick, and some change. It's just what's continued to happen. So Corey Kiner's got to be a fan favorite. One, you watch his tape, he wore number 21, and not saying he's Frank Gore, but he's 5'9", 209, and vision, low center of gravity, runs tough, runs hard, very, very productive, forces missed tackles like nobody's business. There's some carryover there. There's no doubt about that. No doubt about that. Where's jersey number 49 currently? And he comes in on our list at number 59 on the 25 49ers roster countdown. So now you look at his metrics, his testing numbers, all that, not good. Nothing is above 48th percentile for the running backs against NFL running backs. 5'9", 209, 30-inch arms. He has the smallest hands of any running back that's ever made it to the NFL. 7 3/4 inches, tiny, tiny hands. And that actually does impact his game because he's got some ball security controls. Stop me if you heard that before with Jeff Wilson, Matt Breida, Jordan Mason. Yeah, there's a reason why these guys go undrafted, but Shanahan feels like they can coach him up with Bobby Turner. He's 23 years old, ran a 4.5340, not a blazer, 1.50 10-yard. That's probably his best testing metric, but it's still not anything that's too impressive. 19 bench press reps. Like, the production says should have been drafted, but this was a great running back draft class. And he didn't test well. He doesn't have any elite metrics or even really any average metrics. But what makes him special is vision, low center of gravity, production, and forcing missed tackles. You can't necessarily find those things out in the testing sphere. It's not. You've got to turn on the tape. Otherwise, you will not like Corey Kiner. Now, the comps, you load all of his measurables in. The machine, Israel Abanaconda, which he's on this roster, Ronnie Hillman, Darrell Henderson, James White, all guys with vision that can break tackles and can go do those things. And that's where he fits. He's an Ohio kid. He attended Roger Bacon High School in St. Bernard, Ohio. He was named Mr. Football for the state of Ohio in December of 2020. Unbelievable career in high school, unbelievable career in college. His senior year alone in high school, 1,866 rush yards, 35 touchdowns. This is a dude that just scores, period. He was very highly touted, four-star recruit, basically on every ESPN, Rivals, 24/7, like, he was out there everywhere. Number 7 prospect coming out of the state of Ohio, and the number 7 overall running back. won the Offensive Player of the Year for Ohio, and once scored 8 touchdowns in a single game in high school. Commits to LSU, tells you about his recruiting prowess, was there for 1 year, then transferred to Cincinnati in 2022 and was with Cincinnati for 3 years. So played 45 games in his collegiate career, rushed for 2,882 yards, had 5.2 yards per attempt, 16 touchdowns, and had an average PFF grade of 88.5. And the first time that he showed up on the radar of the 49ers, and I'm very, very convinced of this, his 2021 season with LSU, his only year with LSU, he had 79 attempts, 320 yards, 2 touchdowns. This was the last season that Ty Davis Price was with LSU. So all that tape and whatever else that they went through with TDP, guess what? You're combing through that tape, you're watching him in practice. Well, that was the very first introduction of Corey Kiner to the 49ers staff. Then that kind of translates over. He transfers to the University of Cincinnati, and while he's there, you know, he was a backup, whatever else. He finally becomes the bell cow and had back-to-back consecutive 1,000-yard rushing seasons. That's huge. And, you know, he's ranked up among the top for most tackles forced. He had 80 forced missed tackles in 2024. That's fourth in the entire nation. 80 forced missed tackles in one season. And it's not like he's crazy out there juking and all that stuff. Low center of gravity, bowling ball mentality, huge thick thighs. I'm not saying he's Frank Gore, but it's a similar running style, just running through arm tackles. That's what he does so well. Had the second highest elusive rating in all of college football. He had a 161.9 grade. And, you know, for any player that played, you know, over 10 games, he was number 2 in the nation. The only person that was better than him, Ashton Jeanty. That's it. As far as elusiveness, and he wins differently. He doesn't win with speed. He doesn't win with jukes. He's just tough as hell. Bowling ball, great vision, tacks creases well, and just gets the damn job done. Earned the Iron Bearcat Award for performance in the weight room at Cincinnati, so that's huge. So you know he's somebody that takes it seriously. Described as a yes sir, no sir person, very polite, down to earth, but very focused and determined by former coaches. Now, look at his family. Kind of makes sense. His parents, Clifton and Deneen. He's got 4 siblings. So he's got 2 brothers, 2 sisters, and his mom is a nurse. That's awesome. She calls herself, quote, a football mom. And dad works in parking lot enforcement for the city of Cincinnati. So he works for the city. Kind of makes sense. Here's what Kiner said about Coach Bobby Turner, the legend running back coach. Quote, Coach Bobby T is the best in the business, and I like to think of myself as the best. I want to be coached by the best, end quote. Makes just the fact that Corey Kiner knows who Bobby Turner is, I think that's huge. It understands what his relevance and reputation is for the past 3 to 4 decades in the NFL. That's huge. You look at the names that Bobby T has coached. Yeah, you get it. And again, Bobby T has to put his stamp on every single running back that the 49ers ever touched. The only one was the year he took off was Jordan Mason, but take that for whatever you will. The 49ers signed him, Corey Kiner, as a priority free agent, got a 3-year, $2.9 million deal, $25,000 signing bonus, but this is huge because this was never reported right when the deals were done. This leaked out much later. He got $255,000 fully guaranteed. That's huge. That's a lot. That's second most in this undrafted free agent class. Isaiah Nayer is the only one that got more and just a little bit more. The 49ers are paying this dude. And so here's where it kind of sucks is, yeah, you're paying $255,000 guaranteed to him, but if he doesn't make your 53-man roster, you're not holding on to him. The idea is, yeah, well, he'll stay on the practice squad, right? Kyle Shanahan running backs do not stay on the practice squad. Not undrafted free agents, they don't. He will be claimed. I'm telling you right now. So the pathway for Corey Kiner is make the 53 or you're going to play somewhere else. And that's, if I was an undrafted free agent, I am bending over backwards. Just let me go to the 49ers. Let me get a couple carries in that zone scheme and, you know, preseason, make 1 to 2 plays and somebody's going to take me because
anytime Bobby Turner or Kyle Shanahan show love to a running back, everybody pays attention. Everybody does. Now, we talked about the back-to-back years of over 1,000 yards in 2023 at Cincinnati and 2024. He finished the season or his career with 16 touchdowns. I think that's huge. Last 3 years, five touchdowns, four touchdowns. You'd like to have more of an explosive kind of dominant year where you have double-digit touchdowns. Just wasn't in the cards. Somebody that's consistent, gets the job done, has 1,300-plus college snaps, but he's got over 500 college carries, but he hasn't played to the extent where it's like, man, you're kind of worried about, has he already been used up? You don't have that with Corey Kiner. His PFF scores 84.9 overall. This was last year in 2024. 62.7 receiving, decent. 47.4 pass blocking. That's the biggest red flag. Lack of speed, lack of pass rush. But an 88.3 run grade. Why do you draft running backs? To run the football. That's the bare minimum. Can he adapt? Can he get it, become a better pass rusher or pass blocker? Sorry. Can he contribute in the passing game? Can he do special teams? Can he return kicks? Those are the types of things that will bump him to the 53-man roster. And he's got competition. You have to beat out Patrick Taylor, period. That's not easily done. And that might not even be enough. He might even surpass Patrick Taylor Jr. on the running back depth chart, but now you have to also convince the special teams coach and the 49ers to drop another position, whether that's a wide receiver or a linebacker or what type, whatever, so that you can make that 53. It's an uphill battle for Corey Kiner, and we have him number 59 on this list. Like, we think he's going to be around. There is room, but he's got to prove you cannot cut me. And like, if you cut me, I am gone. He has to prove that to the coaches. Now, my film write-up, or our film write-up, the 49ers rush team, the more you watch them, the more you like. Consistent as they come, low center of gravity and vision. Those are his two best traits. Tight hips, ball security is an issue. Again, smallest hands in freaking running back history. Won't see much action in Kyle's offense if he doesn't improve on pass blocking. Biggest weakness on tape. That's kind of what we saw, but man, he is just, he fits. He just fits. Could he be the next Jeff Wilson, Matt Breida, Jordan Mason? Played 45 college games. Man, I sure as hell hope he does. And so my prediction is, I think it's a 50-50 toss-up if he makes this 53. Like, we are getting to that point in the roster countdown where it's like, these are the guys that are on the fringe and have to prove it. You paid this dude $255 guaranteed. They want him on this roster, and there's room. With the trade of Jordan Mason, there is room. Yeah, CMC's making this roster. Isaac Garrido's making this roster. Jordan James is making this roster. That's three. The 49ers have kept five running backs, if you count Kyle Juszczyk, several times. They don't always. Now, the amount of injuries that go to the running back position in the Shanahan scheme, that is undaunted. I mean, that is unbelievable how often it happens. So, Shanahan likes to keep five. It's going to be a little difficult with the injuries to the wide receiver position. So many young guys peppered throughout this roster at every single position. There's going to be some tough decisions. Corey Kiner has to fight tooth and nail to say, hey, you are not going to allow me to be claimed by somebody else. You cut me, I am gone. That's just the way it's going to be. I hope he makes the roster. I really, really do. I'm still upset by last year's Corey Schrader getting claimed, you know, taken away by the freaking Rams. We definitely could have used him, so we'll see. And, you know, shout out to our team, Zach, Josh, and Ben in particular. Ben said, you know, this is one of his favorite crushes on this roster. He thinks he's going to be a gem. And so this is a stamp of approval for Ben. Had to throw that out there. Thank you to those guys. So Corey Kiner comes in 59. Got to do enough to say, take the decision out of the 49ers' hands. We cannot risk losing this undrafted free agent. We got to keep him. We got to keep him. Corey Kiner, I hope you make it, buddy. For us and the 49ers Rush team, we're just going to keep counting them down.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.